Welcome to the Saints Church Highlands podcast. We hope that this message encourages and guides you to connect with God this week.
Paul wrote this to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. So this is not some weird, like, zombie, demonic takeover thing. This is like, no. This is a conscious choice. But Christ who lives in me and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul's saying, so I'm still living on this side of eternity. I'm still living out of this skin and bones, this body of flesh, this soul, spirit, body that God has given me. And now though, now that I've met Jesus, now that he's transformed my life, the life I live now is different because I still live in the flesh, but I live by faith. And this is a very interesting thing because I think there are a lot of believers that understand, okay, well, I'm saved by Jesus and I know he loves me and I'm still an earthly, flesh, spiritual, emotional being. And they say, so I just got to live my life out of my flesh, but I know Jesus saved me. And Paul's saying, no. You need to switch from living in your own flesh to live in the flesh by faith through the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. And this is a big shift for people in their faith walk, in their walk with God, because we are all called to live by faith. And often when a pastor or preacher or someone talks about faith, they come to this place where people say, well, is this going to get weird? Is this going to get like, I want a new Mercedes SUV, so I got to have enough faith for it and just start speaking it to an existence, and then it's going to come? Well, no, that gets a little weird. Is it just that if I struggle to believe for something and I don't understand at times, maybe someone I know was sick or not well, and maybe they went to heaven without seeing healing on this side of eternity, does that mean I didn't have enough faith? See, we come into these conundrums and these places in life where we really wonder what faith is. But I think in the Bible, even the father whose son kept throwing himself into seizures and convulsions, and Jesus is there and he's saying, do you believe that I can heal him? And he says, well, I do believe, but would you help my unbelief? Because I think if we're all real honest, we're like that dad that says, I want to have faith in Jesus, but there are parts of me that are still earthly and fleshly, and they doubt sometimes, and they struggle sometimes. And God calls us to live by faith, but not on our own. Faith isn't something that we have to work up inside of us, hype up inside of us. The faith that we live our life in is that we have trust and hope in Jesus. See, your faith is not in your circumstance working out. Your faith is not in everything going the way you want. Your faith and the way you live this life is by your trust in Jesus. I live this life by faith in the Son of God. Why? Why can we trust Jesus? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. And this is what Easter is all about. This is what we're coming into. And we come to this place where we realize, Jesus, if you could lay down your life, if you could love me, if you can open the door for me to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father, maybe I could trust you. And maybe when I doubt in circumstances in my life and seasons in my life, maybe when I don't feel like I have enough faith, maybe I don't have to work up my faith. Maybe I just have to keep trusting Jesus and place my faith in him so I can live differently than everyone else around me. See, I actually believe that it's by faith in Jesus that we can live a life full of faith for healing, because healing is what he does. I believe by our trust in Jesus, we can live a life full of hope, because hope is who he is. I believe that by living a life with Jesus and trusting Jesus, we can actually live a life of power, because the Holy Spirit works in us and walks with us and leads and guides us. And these are promises of God. We don't have purpose, hope, power, and healing and all of those things in our life because we worked it up somehow and we prayed the right prayer. No, we have them because of Jesus. And so when we put our faith back in Jesus in any situation, we can walk the way he's called us to walk. But today, what I want to challenge us to realize is that this life that we live, this hope that we have, the power we have access to because of Jesus, is all because there is a purpose of God that we are being called to live out and walk out. See, a life of faith is great because we want to see great things happen. But great things happening with no purpose just seems futile. And God does these things, and he works in us and through us, and he shows us how he wants to move, and he brings healing to people's lives, and he gives us hope in desperate situations, and he shows us power through the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. Why? Because God has a purpose that he wants us to live in and to walk out. It's a different life now. Has anybody ever noticed that? Like, following Jesus, it's a different life now? Because if it's not a different life now, I would check how closely you're following Jesus. I would look into that. Because of Jesus, it's a different life now. It's not ours anymore. That's what Paul's saying. This life I live, I still live in the flesh. I'm still an earthly person who has a human body, human needs, functions, desires. I eat, breathe, sleep, need water, all of those things. I got to do all of the things that a person does. I still live in the flesh just because my spirit has been made alive and I'm a new creation. But I now live that mundane day-to-day life by faith in the Son of God, which means I can live differently than the rest of the world lives. And so what we're really saying is, God, this life of mine isn't mine anymore. Or maybe at the very least, maybe let's not get so serious so quickly. Let's not say, okay, God, nothing in my life is about me anymore. Maybe at least it's not all about me anymore. This is a tipping point of maturity and discipleship, right? It's fun to teach your kids to go from a toddler where they get everything they want, and now you have to teach them to share and make things about other people, and then have young kids and teenagers and even young adult kids that you're like, hey, listen, wake up. Life's not about you all the time anymore. Like, those are just natural, real life conversations and parenting conversations. And maybe some of you here, maybe you're a little bit older, you're a young adult, and you didn't have parents that stuck around and taught you some of these things. Well, you need people in the faith that teach you life isn't about you anymore all the time. Especially this life with Jesus. It is about you because he loved you. He died for you. He gave himself for you. But he did that for a purpose, so you could live for something more than you. You could live for him. And so this life I live should be different because of Jesus. But I think in the church today we have, I don't want to say levels because it makes Christianity sound like a MLM, multi-level marketing. I love those memes. Why is it a problem to let your kids believe in Santa Claus? You believe in essential oils, you know? All those things, right? Ladies at the altar in church is like, I should pray for you, but I have an oil for that. No, not happening on my prayer team, okay? But I think in our faith, in our maturity, there are places we come in our relationship with God that lead us deeper and further into a maturity and a relationship with God that actually allows us to see his purpose unfold in ways that we can't if we hold out on God. And I think there are steps that we take, and it's good, but some people take one or two steps, and they say, that's enough for me, and I'm going to live the rest of my Christian life exactly this way for the rest of my life. And they go to church every week, and they're bored, and they don't like being there, but they have to because they gave their life to Jesus one time, and so now they've got to go to church for the rest of their life, and hopefully heaven will be better than church. That's what they think, and that's what they do, and that's what they live like. Like, I've met people like this. I met older Christians that wrote songs that, you know, like the one song I absolutely just despise is I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. Because it's like, everything in that song is like, you go listen to it sometime if you never heard it. It's like, earth sucks, following Jesus here is no good, but at least one day there's heaven. Like, that's the hope of my faith in Jesus. Well, at least one day there's heaven. I'm just waiting to die, okay? You know, and it's like, I think the gospel, and I think life with Jesus, and I think the purpose of God and what he calls us to do when we get beyond ourselves is so much greater than that. I think it's actually enjoyable. I think it's actually purposeful. And I think people think they want fun, enjoyment. I think they think that they want, and there's nothing wrong with these things, more holidays, more money. They want pleasure. They want that kind of stuff. I think that's what people think they want. But I think what actually fuels people and leads them forward is purpose. Because you could have all the money in the world, you could have all the stuff in the world, and if you wake up every day and you feel like your life lacks purpose or meaning, you are still left empty. And this is one of the most powerful things about the gospel, is that the life we live now by faith in Jesus makes it so far beyond us. And then we actually get to walk in around where we could live out and believe that my life has purpose and meaning for the eternity of others. And when you think about that, that's pretty crazy and that's pretty incredible. But it does cost us, and it does mean we have to get involved with what God wants to do in our lives. And as I was praying about this and I was thinking about this, I was drawn back to Ezekiel 47, because I think when life should be different with Jesus, I think we have a lot of believers stuck in different stages of their Christian walk. And in Ezekiel 47, there's this vision where Ezekiel is taken by an angel to the entrance of the temple, and there's this water flowing out of the temple, and he watches where it goes. And I want to read this. It says, "In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there I saw a stream flowing from the east beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side." That means nothing to us when you can't see it on a map, but it was important. "The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway, and he led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway, measuring as he went. He took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across. The water was up to my ankles. And he measured off another 1,750 feet, and he led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist, and then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through." And sometimes we read these scriptures and we're like, God, why is a river coming out of the temple so important? And what I want us to recognize and realize is that this is talking about that out from the presence of God, from the sanctuary, there is a life source that is flowing and moving. And I think there are a lot of believers that they get into a certain depth, but you won't actually experience the fullness of God until you're willing to surrender and go where God wants to take you by his presence. And he's showing Ezekiel this, and this is what happens. He comes to a place, and they walk out, and the first time they walk out, it's only up to his ankles. And I think we got a lot of Christians, we got a lot of believers and people that say, God, I love you, change my life, and I give you my life. And they say, like, but they go up to their ankles. It's like, oh, church is such a refreshing experience. I wore my hipster rolled-up pants today, mainly because I'm too short to wear pants before I get them hemmed, but my kids tell me it's cool, so I mean, hey, I'm an old man now. But we have a lot of believers that, you know, they treat going to church and they treat their relationship with God. They're like, I just want the refreshing part. You know, on a hot summer day when you go to the lake or the beach or the ocean or the swamp in Alberta, because that's really all we got here, and you go out and you're like, oh, you know, I don't want to go swimming and get dirty and all that, but, oh, I'll roll my pants up and, oh, I'll dip my toes in. Like, ooh, that's so nice. It's so refreshing. And you walk a little bit in the sand, and then you can rinse your feet off and you didn't get too dirty, and then you can, you know, kind of just shake them off and put your sandals or your shoes back on, and you can drive home, and you had a nice, refreshing walk and a nice, refreshing experience. And we have people that say, well, I serve God and I love Jesus, but they only want that experience in their faith. They want a worship service that's nice. They want a walk with God that's refreshing, and it's about me, and tell me how much God loves me, and tell me how good he is. And that's good. We need those things and we need those moments, but that is not a surrendered life. But then we have water up to the knees. And there are moments in our life where we come to a deeper depth in our relationship with Jesus, and we have to choose that we are going to get involved more. We're going to go deeper in our faith than just that surface level, go to church, what feels nice, do the things that I like. Because here's the thing. If you go to a church week in and week out, you should be challenged in your faith. But we have a whole generation that can listen to podcasts and pastors from all over the world. So the minute they hear something challenging, they can just flip to the next episode. And they can live a refreshing Christianity that they like. But when you're a part of a family and you have leaders and brothers and sisters and people involved in your life, you're going to be challenged at some point. And so then there's water up to the knees, and the knees speak of surrender. One of my favorite stories in Scripture is where Jesus comes to Peter and he tells Peter, hey, I'm done teaching now. Why don't you launch out into the deep and throw out your net? And Peter's like, Jesus, you're the carpenter and the teacher. I'm the fisherman. We were out all night long. We didn't catch anything. But I think Peter was probably a little bit of like, there's this whole crowd of people here, so I don't want to look like a jerk. So nevertheless, okay, at your word, we'll try it one more time. Like, I'm pretty sure the faith that Peter had in that moment was non-existent. He was literally just trying to appease Jesus and go out, and they go out and they catch this great multitude of fish, and Peter runs back to the shore, and it says this, and it's very important in this passage. It says that he fell at Jesus' knees. A lot of places in Scripture, the 10 lepers, the one comes back, he falls at Jesus' feet and he worships. We hear a lot in Scripture about falling at the feet of the Savior. You know, Mary Magdalene, she washed Jesus' feet. She worshiped at his feet. But this instance, Peter falls to Jesus' knees. And that was a sign and a symbol that at the knees, you surrender. At the knees, it was almost this military thing that when you pleaded at someone's knees, you were under their command and their authority. And Peter says, Lord, you need to get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I didn't believe. And it shows Peter's surrender. And he's just like, my heart's going to change. And Jesus says, it's okay. Get up. You're going to fish for people now. And Jesus knew at that moment he had a surrender in Peter that was not just about what Peter wanted. Peter said, man, if you could do this, and this is who you are, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And I think there's moments in our faith and our walk with Jesus where we come to the place of surrender. And some Christians, we've surrendered some things. We've surrendered some ideas. We've surrendered some thoughts. We've surrendered, some habits and some stuff from our past. And that's good. But a lot of us kind of, well, I'll surrender this, but we got other areas where we're saying, God, I don't know if I can surrender that. Because it's one thing to surrender a habit. It's one thing to surrender something that's visible on the outside, but there are areas of surrender that I think all of us have that are very difficult to leave at the feet of Jesus to say, God, I'll give you more and I'll go deeper, because there are things we've hidden in our heart. Maybe there are dreams, there are desires that we have. We want to make something of ourselves. And that's what I think brings us to the next one. It says he went a little bit deeper in Ezekiel 47. It says there was water to the waist. And, you know, it's one thing to go and get in the water at the lake. We lived in BC for 2 years, and the lakes there are so clean, but they are so cold. Unless it's like 35 above. And, you know, going into your ankles, going into your knees, that's great. But guys, how many know when you're going to commit going into your waist, it's a new experience. It changes things. And I think there are moments in our life that the things that we're trying to produce, right? We're trying to reproduce, we're trying to make something of ourselves, that God says, would you even lay that down and follow me instead of what you want to follow? Would you let me produce in you what I want to reproduce in you, not what you think you want in life? And some people get to this point and they say, okay, Lord, I'll even go deeper. I'll submit some desires and some things that I want to produce in my life to you, and I'll trust you. But I do believe there's another level still, and I believe this is the place that God is calling us to live in as a church family and as individuals, because if we're going to see God move, there's another depth that we can go to, and that's where he went out further, and he said it was too deep to cross, but it was deep enough to swim in. And if you've ever tried to swim in a river, I don't advise trying to swim in the North Saskatchewan. It's difficult sometimes because there is a current and there is an undertow and there is a flow and there is a direction and there is a way that that moves. And you can only fight it for so long. And I believe that God is looking for many of us as believers to say, God, I'll get in so deep that I have to lay down everything. I have to stop fighting with my own strength and I will go where you're leading me. And I will go where your presence takes me and I will submit myself to swim and stay afloat, but not to get to where I want to be, but to go the direction that you're taking me. And I think this is an experience that God calls us into. You're here tonight and you've been part of the launch team here at Highlands. This is really what we're getting into, is saying, God, it might be nicer to be where all my friends are and a few more people on a Sunday. It might be easier to just kind of sit back and let other people do the work. But you come into something where it's like, hey, we believe God is doing something. We believe God wants to serve something. There is a surrender that has to come to your heart and things that you desire and you need at times to say, God, if this is what you're doing, I'm going to go your direction. And this is so important because when we continue to read Ezekiel 47, it says this starting in verse 6. The angel looks at Ezekiel and he asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me along the riverbank, and when I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from the En Gedi to En Elgeam. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will be still and salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. And I just really felt to challenge us tonight to get into where it's deeper. Because this is what God sees for us. God doesn't call you deeper to make you feel like you're drowning. He doesn't call you deeper to cut everything off for your life. He calls you deeper because he knows where his presence flows and where his presence leads, that's where life will happen. Some Christians fight their whole life for things to stay how they want it to stay. And they try to make the experience refreshing. They surrender some areas, but not all. They won't get in deep enough to get past where they're out of control. And trust me, as a person who likes to have things a certain way and in a certain order, it is not fun to live a life where you don't get to make all your own decisions and you have to live by the presence of God and the power of God. But I've learned in the 40 years I've been on this planet, the more I fight God, the more tired I get. And the more I submit to his presence and I'm willing to go where he wants to lead, that's where I find life that I never thought I'd see. You see, it's when we get in over our heads, when we get into the deep, we get into the places where dead things start coming back to life. When we start going where God wants to lead us, when we start saying, God, I'll let you lead me, I'll let your presence take me places, we start seeing fruit and life and hope. And there's a phrase in the scripture where it says the swamps and the marshes, people that isolate themselves and try to stay refreshed apart from the presence of God and the purpose of God, they stay stagnant. See, there is a life that God has for us. There is a life that God has for this community. There is a life of God and a presence of God that he has that will only come to them if we are willing to get in over our head, if we are willing to swim in his presence and do the things that are out of our control at times, but we know he's leading us, he's guiding us, and taking us to the right places. See, this life I live in the flesh. And I can live it how I want to live it, or I can live it by faith in the Son of God. I can live it fully immersed in the presence of God. And I challenged Glory Hills last week. I want to challenge Highlands tonight to just get in a little deeper. And I would say this, don't be afraid to get in over your head. Because I understand that taking care of yourself is important. I understand that there are things that have been done in the name of God in church that maybe not have been healthy. But I do also believe that there are moments and places that God wants to lead you and he's asking you to surrender and you're resisting. And I think if you're so afraid to get in over your head, you're going to miss out on some of the fullness of God that he actually wants for you, some of the purpose that he's leading you into. And I believe that we need to be a people that aren't afraid to get in over our head because of this simple truth. God's not in over his. So if I'm in the depths of the presence of God and I'm flowing with his purpose, it might be scary at times, it might be overwhelming at times, but I can trust because my faith is in Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me, that he is leading me to the right place in the right moment, in the right times, and I can say, Lord, I will let you take me there. See, this isn't asking you to work hard, do more, all the things, become a martyr for the sake of busyness and all that stuff. No, this is simply saying, will you go where the presence of God is leading you? Because I've watched church for a long time now. And I truly believe the most fulfilled people and the happiest people are the ones that are willing to say, God, I'll go where you take me. And it's scary sometimes, and it's difficult in seasons, but on the other side of it, you see the life that God brought out of all of those things. I believe that as we go, and as we walk about Highlands or Glastonbury or Parkland County or wherever God takes us as a church family, when we are a people that are not afraid to get in over our heads, that we are not afraid to live a life by faith in Jesus that isn't only about us, and it means it's going to cost us some time, and it means we're going to have to lay down our lives at times for other people, and we're going to have to open the door to let some people in. I believe that when we do that and we know we're being led by the presence of God, we're not doing it because we're being strong-armed. We're not doing it because we're a bad Christian if we don't. We're actually doing it because we believe that God, if you want me to go, I'll go, and I'm trusting that you're going to bring life wherever I go. And I believe that as our churches do this, and I believe that as we walk this out, we're going to fulfill what Habakkuk 2:14 says. And it says this, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. And I just want to leave you with this. How is your neighborhood going to be filled with an awareness of the glory of God if you're not willing to go? How do your coworkers have an awareness of the glory of God if you're not willing to be caught up in the presence of Jesus and bring it to them? How's your family be filled with an awareness of the glory of God if we won't say, God, we're going to go where you go. We're going to get into your presence. We're going to surrender the comfort. We're going to surrender the desires. We're going to surrender the things that you ask of us. Why? Because being in the presence of God and letting him carry us where he's asking, to our workplace, to our schools, to our communities, if we go there, we will bring the life of God with us. I don't know about you, but I just feel like at 40, for me, I'd really like to be a better person at 70 and a more encouraging person at 70 and a person more known for carrying the hope and the presence of God to people at 70 than I do today. Because the world notices that. Typically, the world thinks that the older we get, the crankier we get, the more difficult we become. And I'm just going to tell you, I could be really good at that. I was born an old man. There's a reason I could get married at 20 and not a lot of men could. Because I don't do well with fooling around and just chaos and all that stuff. And that's probably why God had me be a youth pastor for like 17 years to just break me of thinking I can control everything. What does it say to the world around us when things are hard in life and we could be bitter and we could be broken, but yet because we're saying, I don't know how to reconcile that, but I'm still going to go where the presence of God leads me. It tells people, well, there's something different about this life. And I just want to challenge us. We have a choice to make. This life I live in the flesh, I can live it for myself, or I can live it by faith through Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. So why don't we stand tonight? And I just want to pray over you, because I believe this is a timely word to challenge us and just say, Lord, it might be difficult to let go of some things. It might be difficult to take the next step. It might be challenging where I'm at right now, but I think when we say, Lord, but I'll surrender and I'll trust where you're leading me and I'll trust what your presence is doing, I believe we can look forward with hope to see the life of God spring up because we let him take us there. Interesting thing about church plants and locations, we can do a lot of things and we should put in all the work and we should invite people, and Mel's going to talk to you about that and some stuff about Easter weekend, but there are certain things that only can come to pass when we submit ourselves to God's leading, to God's presence, and we let him do the heavy lifting. Because sometimes we want to do all the right things, check all the right boxes, and then we think we should open the doors and everyone show up, but what about that moment where you're at the gas station and God tells you, why don't you put $30 in that person's vehicle? Knowing they're probably only putting $10 in because that's all they can afford. And like, I watch people do this, $10 at a time, hoping to get 2 days at a time, hoping to make it to another paycheck. What if God's presence leads you down that road? What if God reveals his glory to people by simple, mundane, kind, loving things? The earth will be filled with his glory. Why? Because we let him lead us and take us where he wants us to go. So why don't we bow our heads tonight? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people here at Highlands. I thank you that you are doing something and you are stirring something. And Lord, I know so many are here, not just because it's a refreshing and life-giving experience, but because, Lord, there is a desire to surrender to you and to see you do something new. And this life that you talk about in Ezekiel 47, the east end of Edmonton needs that life. Lord, whether someone is rich, poor, has nothing, thinks they have everything, Lord, we know better than anyone that what they really need is you, Jesus. And God, I just pray that as we get in deeper, as maybe we get in over our heads at times and wonder, God, I don't know if I could walk up to that person and say that. I don't know if I can be that person when you ask me to. When we take that step of faith and say, God, I'm going to get out where it's deeper than I like, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to trust your presence to bring life. God, that we would see fruitfulness, that we would see healing, that we would see dead things come back to life, that we would see that when we live with true purpose, because this life we live with you, Jesus, is not ours anymore. Lord, that we would be able to wake up day in and week out, fulfilled as believers, not because we have great jobs or we like the people we work with, but because we actually live our life on purpose. And we actually live our lives by faith Because Jesus, we can trust you. And Jesus, you love Edmonton more than we do. You love people more than we do. So Jesus, I just pray tonight that we would have a heart to surrender and trust you and see the life that you want to bring, not only to ourselves, but to the world around us. So God, we thank you for nights like tonight and times where we can feel your presence and be encouraged by your word. But Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to go out where it's a little bit deeper and see what you might do in St. Church Highlands. So Jesus, we love you, we worship you, and we give you this night. Everybody says, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Saints Church Highlands podcast. If you are looking to get connected, head to saintschurch.ca. And if you are in the Edmonton area, join us for a service next Sunday at 6:30 p.m. We hope to see you there.